Welcome each one to the service this morning. I enjoyed the devotional that Brother Chris shared this morning. Those verses in 2 Corinthians, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And one of the quotes that he read, I did not get to write the whole quote down, but it's not about us, but it is about an encounter with God. And I was encouraged by that this morning. And my prayer this morning is that we can feel, and we can not only feel that, but that we will take steps that our encounter with God will be something where God can work in us, and that our lives could be lives that will be pleasing to Him. I had to think of, when I was preparing for the message this morning, I had to think of an experience I had a few weeks back. I had to change a lock on a door. Someone had broken into this door, and the owner had given me a key to get in. The lock was still okay, but the door was kind of busted, and they had patched it up, and they had put some plywood or OSB in front of the door to just prevent anybody else from going in there. And he had given me this key, and I tried desperately to open that door to change it. I'd taken my tools along, and this was up in Edmonton, so I couldn't go back to the owner that quick and change that key. So he had given me a key, and I fought with it. Me and my fella, we worked on that lock, and we just couldn't open that door. And we're like, is something broken inside of it? The key would go inside. But after a while, we just knew that something was wrong with the key or the lock. Things were not aligning, and we could not get into it. And we ended up having to break the door, and we got in to change that. And my mind this morning had to go, is the key that I have, is it aligning with the lock? And I know in life, we search for answers. And sometimes we believe the key that we have is going to bring the happiness or going to bring what we're looking for. And we hope that the key that we have will answer or will bring a solution to the problem that we might be having. And it could be we're looking for the key to have a happy marriage. Maybe we're looking for the key that will bring a happy home. Maybe some of the other answers that we're looking for the key that will help us get to a place where we will have financial freedom. Maybe the other thing that we're looking for is the key that will make our life successful. And successful means, it could mean different things for different people. Successful does not only mean financial freedom or some big accomplishment. Being successful could mean differently for someone else, for the person right next to you. So are we looking for that key for success? Or maybe we are looking for the key that will help us build better quality relationships between each other. And maybe we're looking for a key that we feel that we don't have, the key that feels maybe our connection with God isn't there. And we are wanting to find the key, the answers that can help bring us closer to God. I know that when I was 14 years old, before I turned 14, and I remember driving down the gravel roads, and my dad would oftentimes let me learn how to drive in his old truck, and we would drive up and down the road and go into the combine or the tractor or wherever we were going. And I remember being a young child, and just dreaming about the day that I could be sitting behind the steering wheel. And I just knew that if I were to eventually get my driver's license, that little plastic card in my wallet, that I knew that if I had that card, happiness was in front of me. I could go wherever I wanted to go. I could take the truck. I could turn the steering wheel whichever way. I could have my windows rolled up. I could just, the possibilities of everything in front of me just seemed like it was going to happen, but I just needed that plastic card. And I just was convinced that once I were to accomplish that, then I would be happy. That's all I needed. And for a 14-year-old boy, I think those were good endeavors at that time, and that was something I was really looking forward to. But it came and went, and now, yes, I'm still happy today. I do have my driver's, but happiness for a period of time in my life. But and I think back as well as being a young boy sitting in school, and I remember the teacher, how he would be prepping us to get us ready for our test Friday. I think it was Fridays usually when we did all our tests, and these things that we worked towards, and we did a whole bunch of practice. We would go over our lessons to make sure that we understood the correct, proper concept of the questions that were going to be asked in our test. And I remember sitting there with all my friends together, and we would get the test, and we didn't know what the questions were going to be, but we knew that we had, at some point in time, we had studied this lesson. And I remember sitting there and looking over these questions, and I'm like, where did these answers come from? I did not know the answers. And I remember sitting there and just wishing, if only I could get up to the front and have the answer key, the teacher's book that had all the answers. And I thought, if I only had the answers, if I only had the keys, that would solve my problem. But as we all know, if we would have got the answer key, that would have not only, yes, I would have got my answers right, but that was not the purpose. It was for me to get the proper understanding of what the lesson was about, what we've been taught for the last 3-4 weeks or whatever it was. And in life, that's how life sometimes is. We search for answers. We try really hard to find the key. We try to find the answers. And one thing is, what keeps us looking and what keeps us searching is we know that there is a solution to our problem. If we didn't know there was a solution, I don't think we would have the motivation to dig. And I'm very happy today that it doesn't really matter what we face. Now, we face in life so many things. There is solutions to our situation, to our circumstance. There is solutions to it. And that, to me, is very encouraging, is that there is answers. But sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes instead of me taking the time to pray to God and ask God for direction in my life, sometimes it's easier for me to pick up my phone and maybe call a friend of mine and just say, hey, I'm running through this. This is the scenario. Can you give me some advice in regards to what I'm faced with? And sometimes that's easier to do. And I'm not saying that's wrong. That's very healthy. That's really good communicating. It builds a relationship with each other. But do I take the time to find the real answers? And I think there's a verse I read in Psalms 13 a few weeks ago, and this is when David was in a very bad situation. He was in a dilemma where he was running away for his life. We all know the story of when he was growing up in the when he went to battle, and he's seen the Goliath taunting the Israelites, and he looked around at all his brethren, and he's like, putting this in my own words, he says, why do you allow this Philistine to taunt our God, the God of Israel, like, why are you letting him taunt us? And to them, they seen this big giant, they seen this big Goliath that was there, and he was undefeated with all his experience that he had in battle. And David, he takes off, and he's after, I'll backtrack a little bit, David, he went and approached Saul, prepared himself and said, I will go fight because I know the God that has delivered me out of the paws of the bear and the lion. That's the same God that's going to deliver me from this Goliath that was in front of them. And after he had killed Goliath, his fame, and we know the story how he went up there and he said, in the name of God, we will win. And we know the story of how his fame kind of grew, and people were saying how many Saul had killed, but now here's David. He had killed so many more. And we know the Old Testament story of David. And David ended up having to run for his life. Saul was chasing him because he was a threat to Saul's kingdom. And throughout that whole time, David did not only have to run away to save his life, he lost his best friend, Jonathan. And one of the things that David was faced with when he was hiding in the caves, when he was running away for his life, when he prayed to God in Psalms 13, he prayed to God this, and he said, I'm going to actually just turn to a few verses there quick. He says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my heart, having sorrow in my heart daily? And that is the verse that I want to touch on, is in verse 2. It says, how long shall I take counsel in my heart? Here David, he was becoming very discouraged with his life and the way things were unfolding for him. And here he says, I'm taking counsel. Here he's praying to God, and he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? And so what David was doing, he was evaluating the situation where he was in, but the more he thought about it, he says, having sorrow in my heart daily, he was looking for answers in his own heart, and he was pondering, he was rolling things over, and he was not getting a clear direction in the direction he wanted to go, or what he thought he should be doing. And how often do we catch ourselves, instead of looking for answers or looking for the key that we need, do we rather work in our own heart to try to sort things out on our own without reaching into the scripture or reaching, getting on our knees and praying to God for direction in the circumstance that I'm in. Is the key that I have, is it aligning with the answers that God is giving me? Am I taking the time in my life to sit back? And I was actually challenged a while back. There's a venture I wanted to go into, and a friend of mine, he just told me, he says, one of the things that, and this is a community fella, and he says, he just said, I encourage you tonight to, when you go home tonight, to go talk to your wife, and you get on your knees, and you pray to God for direction, and he knows I'm a man of faith, but he asked me, he says, he challenged me that I was going to go home and take some time to talk to my wife, and to pray about it, to see if this is God's will for you. And I'm like, there's a community man. He encouraged me to do that. And I'm like, how often, instead of doing that, we try to find the answers in our own heart. And it spoke to me. And I'm just, my challenge to us this morning is, is the key that I have, is that aligning with what God wants for me in my life? One of the questions, or one of the statements I put down in here, is that the Bible that we have, the scripture, we can find answers we have the key that will help us and guide us through life. But what we get out of the Bible largely depends on the questions we ask. And to go along with that, am I taking the time to sit back and actually listen to what God is speaking to me? We can ask questions and we have the answers. We have the scripture. We can read about so many examples. We can find answers to our life. But am I taking the time to, when I pray to God, do I take the time to actually listen to what God is trying to tell me? Then I wrote one of the other notes I put in here. It says, the heart cannot love what the mind does not know. And that is Matthew 22. If you would care to, with me to turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 34 to 39. And this is where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, where they kind of are trying to corner Jesus. And here in verse 30, we're just going to break into verse 34, Matthew 22. It says, and when the Pharisees had spoken, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees in silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that was Jesus' response to the question that was being said. I like how Jesus' response, and I think this is core to a Christian's life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So my question to me this morning is, does my heart know, or does my heart love what my mind knows? Do I have a proper understanding of who God is? Do I understand what it means to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? God is the main character in our scripture that we have. The scriptures teach us a lot about the mind of Christ and what his desire is for us. And one of the old favorite passages in Psalms 23, I'm going to read that psalm. It's a very familiar, most of us could probably recite it by memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This passage describes a number of things that God does for his people. And the first one is he leadeth me. Verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. Again, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. God, as well for his people, he is a comfort to us. Verse 5, it says, thou preparest. God prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. These verses just describe the nature of who God is. And do I understand that when I am looking for answers in my life, when I'm looking for the key to what I'm faced with, do I have a proper understanding of who God is and what God does and what His will is for me? Do I believe Psalms 23 with my whole heart? Does searching for answers in our life, does that help us to grow in our understanding of God? That when I was studying, when I was preparing, I was really challenging myself with maybe I should say I was guilty of not reaching out to God more often in my life when I am looking for answers. I was really challenged with that. Is do I take the time, or have I become complacent in my Christian life? I had to think of the things that sometimes that could come in the way of Christianity, of us being a Christian. Sometimes we can almost get into that mindset of I'm doing all these Christ-like qualities in my life, and I am evangelizing, or I am doing mission things, or am I supporting a good cause, or I'm doing Bible study, or I'm having my devotional life, and I try to be Christ-like, disciplined in my walk with God. Sometimes we can almost get into this mindset of I'm doing these things, and I think it can be a dangerous place sometimes that we can become complacent in our Christian life. And I just wrote down some notes here. A challenge to me is, am I trying to be the person on my own efforts? Am I trying to be a good person on my own efforts? And with doing that, am I wanting God to love me more because I'm doing these things for Him? And it's not about what our what Brother Chris brought out in our devotional this morning. It's not about us or about who we are or what we have done, but it is what is my encounter with God and what has God done for me. It is about the very person. It is about Jesus Christ, not about any one of us. He is our life. And is He the key to is He the answer to our life? And I was listening to a message a couple of weeks ago, and in it, I was challenged with what the pastor said, and he was bringing out Luke 23, and I want to turn to Luke 23 a little. And this challenged me in my place if I am becoming complacent in my walk with God. And I want to read verse Luke 23, 32, and we're going to read right up to verse 43. And this is talking about Jesus' crucifixion. And we're going to start in verse 32. And there was also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lot. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also which with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offered him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written up over him in the letters in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And this is where I want us to pay attention to in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which was hanging railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And verse 41, it says, And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And when I read that, that was a challenge to me. And the challenge to me is, if we were to die tonight, if one of us were to die tonight, and we were to stand in front of God, and we were asked the question, how did you get here to heaven? What would your response be? What would our response be to that? Would our response be because I believed, or would we say to the angels, it's because I had faith, or because I'm continuing to do what you were asking me to do? Would that be our response? There's only one proper answer to that, and that is because he died on the cross. Because he, the man in the middle, said we could come, and I looked at this story of these two malefactors, these two thieves, one on either side of Jesus. The one said, "If thou art," he railed on him and said, "If thou art Christ, save thyself." And the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds." This man on the cross rebuked the other one and said, he admitted, he said, we justly, we deserve this punishment hanging on the cross. But the man in the middle, he has done nothing wrong. He's here. We are the ones that are being condemned justly. We are, but this man hath done nothing wrong. And he said in verse 43, he says, And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And that to me was a challenge, because sometimes we can get into a spot in our lives where we think, if I do this, I do this, I do this, and I do that, that is where our salvation will be. And I want to challenge us this morning that those things can be having faith and believing in Christ and doing the things that God is asking us to do. They all have a proper place, but we can never hold that up as high as what Christ has done for us. It is because he died on the cross that we can have forgiveness of sins. It's not about how we're performing or us doing the things that we are doing, but it's about the man in the middle cross, because it is him. It's because of what he has done. It's because of the price that he has paid for us. And turn with me also to Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32, it says, at verse 31, What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I think these are just beautiful passages that we can read that can really challenge us in our life. It is Christ wants the best for us, and God spared not his own son that we could have what we can experience today. As well, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 4:1-7. 2 Corinthians 4:1-7. Therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who in the image of God shall shine unto him. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessel, but that the excellency of the power may be of God and not in us. And I love the way Paul brings this out. He says, we are like frail jars. We are vessels, but it's not about who we are, but it's about what God has done. And we look at the life of Paul, how his focus was never, after his conversion, his focus was not about him, but it was about what God had done in his life, how God had transformed his life. And I just want us to just be, just a challenge to us this morning. The power is from God. It's not of ourselves. And I just want to close with this psalm, one of the songs in the hymnal. It's the title of that song is called "Open My Eyes That I May See." It says, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth that hast for me. Place in my hands thy wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything fake will disappear." Verse 3 says, open my mouth and let me bear tidings of mercy everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Open my mind that I may read more of thy love in word and deed. What shall I fear while yet thou didst lead? Only for light from thee I plead. And that is my prayer, that God would just that we would be encouraged this morning to focus on what Christ has done in our life. And may God bless each one for coming out this morning.